You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
This is Jake the Snake Roberts. Just letting you know. You need to listen to Knockouts and Three Counts, or you'll see that damn snake again.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
Knockouts and Three Counts.
Knockouts and Three Counts.
Nice try, asshole.
Yes, this is Knockouts and Three Counts, and we're here once again with another episode of Podcast Gold, live from the illustrious Podcast Detroit studio here in Royal Oak, Michigan.
I don't want to see the damn snake again, so you motherfuckers better be watching.
Watch your language. So we got a wonderful guest in studio. We're going to introduce him in 1 second. We're going to go ahead, go through our intro and make our quick announcements, and then we will jump right into it. Mr. Thunder.
That's me.
We're going to start off with you, man. Why don't you go ahead and jump into your stuffs, man, and make your announcements and all that good stuffs.
Stuff. Tony Thunder.
That sums it up.
If you really want to know where you can find him, check out KO3CPod.com.
Well played, Randy.
Bam. Thank you, Randy.
Any shows coming up this weekend, sir?
This weekend, HPW. I'll have more information before the episode's over.
You do realize you said the same thing during 11:05 Live, right?
See, what happened was
what had happened was
we'll take care of that later on, sir. Mr. Collison.
And this is Justin.
Huh? Wait, what'd you say?
This is Justin Timberlake's favorite pro wrestling and MMA podcast. Like,
Justin Timberlake
really
loves
us.
Definitely. Mr. Collison.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit Knockout, at Detroit, N-O-K-O-U-T. Make sure you're following all the show pages. Like Randy said, KO3CPod.com, our website. Make sure you're following us Twitter and Instagram at KO3CPod. And, if you're going to be in the building for Evolve coming up, or Ula La Lucha, we'll be in the building as well. So keep checking it out.
All righty. And make sure you're checking out the Reality Era News page on Facebook, the nice little wrestling group. We chat wrestling and all that good stuff from there. Right now we're talking about the Viking experience / Viking Raiders
shit.
Right now.
That's the biggest clusterfuck I ever seen.
Watch your language, sir. Shout out to BCWA for a great show this past weekend, man. The next show is May 18th. We're working on a guest for in studio right now. We'll make that announcement sometime soon. Tomorrow, as of this recording, we'll be at WXC and Crystal Gardens. Southgate, the Crystal Gardens, where one of our guest training partners is going to be fighting. Mr. Derek Kroshek is going to be there.
Yep. You got Darren, you've got Darius Estelle, you've got Jason Fisher making his return to the cage, man. It's going to be, those fights alone are enough reason to go watch it.
Definitely.
And it's going to be on UFC Fight Pass for all you guys that are listening. Check that shit out.
And Clash is also this weekend.
And check that out. That too.
I will probably be there for that. I don't know about you, Mr. Collison.
What day is it?
That is Saturday, April 27th.
Well, since I can't make it to our guest fight, I can hit that.
All righty. Anything else before we?
No.
Is that all?
And, well, we'll get into what else is this weekend in a minute.
All right. Well, why don't you go ahead and introduce our guest, sir?
So with us in studio, we've got a guy who, ironically, when last time we interviewed Mo, he was getting ready to fight our guest.
Really?
Yes, he was. Kenny Mitchell Cross, man. He's getting ready for Lights Out 3 this Saturday, Deltaplex Arena, Grand Rapids, Michigan. How you doing, brother man?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
Yes, for those of y'all that are not watching on camera, our guest is rocking.
He is brothered out.
He's rocking the Hulk Hogan right now.
All he needs is a little red and yellow. He'll be doing all right.
Nah, you got to go black and white, man.
Or like a blonde Elias. I can see it. He won't see it. But
man, so
tell us about your fight, man. I know you're coming off a loss, you know, but you put on a hell of a fight in your last fight. Like, you were clearly dominating the first two rounds, in my opinion. You know, tell us a little bit about going into this fight, you know, where your head's at for it, and tell us a little bit about Lights Out.
You know, going into this fight, coming off a loss is, you know, a tricky kind of ordeal. You have to go into this fight not worried about what you just came off of. It only adds fuel to the fire for me to work harder, to train harder, and give the fans the best version of myself, give myself and my teammates the best version of myself, because we deserve that. And, you know, I'm going up against Eric Laura, who on paper I should demolish. But if you really look into this guy, he has been edged out by many, you know, good fighters. And it's a risky fight for me, being 6-3, going up against someone that's 2-5 on paper. Because if I don't absolutely demolish this guy, even if I win, it's not really a win. So I have to go out there. I have to be ready. I'm prepared. I've been busting my ass day in, day out. I've never worked as hard as I have. I've never been as focused as I am. I have fire lit in my ass, and I'm ready for this fight more than I've been ready for anything. So that's that.
Nice.
Real quick in the chat, Mr. Tim Voss Jr. says, Kenny Cross, my boy.
I'll see you tomorrow, baby.
And Joel Cross says, Boss Nation.
Let's go, daddy.
And friend of the show, Alicia, says, is that Hulk Hogan in studio?
Hey, already. You live by the book, man. You die by the book. That's all I know.
No, that's not Hulk Hogan. That is
shit. It's
Kenneth Cross, the boss.
Fuck it.
But, I completely blanked.
I got it. Anyway, so we were talking about
as we were doing our intros for the show, we've also got WXC Warrior Wednesday this week. Three of two of your guys' main coaches there. You know, you got Fisher and you've got Darren both fighting, plus Darius is fighting.
That was my question. Go ahead.
What does that do? You know, what does that do for you leading into this fight? Does that help you at training camp at all? Like, what's the vibe like over there at MTT?
The energy is crazy. So I've never been a part of this where I've looked up so much to my coaches, to my training partners. They're so top tier at what they do. So first of all, when Darren has a fight, Darren loves to spar always. That's, you know, Monday's boxing, but you look at Darren, he shoots you a little grin. He's like, we sparring today. I'm like, all right, that's what I like to do. Like, let's go. So now you have a beast ready to hunt. So he's preparing himself. Not only is he teaching me, he's preparing for war as well.
Right.
So we're all in the fire now, you know, we're all under that, as well as Jason Fisher, who I've never seen fight along with Darren, you know, in person. So Fisher's finally coming, and he's one of the best fighters like I've ever trained with either. He's so freaking good.
He's underrated.
100%.
If injuries didn't derail him, I mean, he's definitely underrated. Yeah. I mean, all you got to do is watch his fight against David Caveman Rickles and Bellator, and he'll tell you everything you need to know.
If you train with him, you wouldn't even know he has injuries. He's always in the gym. He's always teaching. He's so damn good at everything. So I have these guys, you know. Estelle is a maniac as well. So these are three of my, you know, hard training partners, whether, you know, 145 up to 155. And I mean, we get pretty big as well, up to like 190. So it's a lot of leather getting thrown around. And now it's kind of like I'm in the gym. I'm trying to get as much as I can. They're trying to get as much as I can. So we really have to link up. We have to be dedicated. We have to spend the time and the hours, or we won't catch each other at the right times, because everybody has such a busy schedule. Everybody's working so hard for their own. And the energy at the gym is everybody. It's a huge week for us. We have three people on this card, and we have three people this weekend. Me, Chad Decker, and Miracle Boy. So it's like everybody is just, you know, letting us do our thing, giving us everything that we need. You know, Kara's always like, "Do you need this? What else do you need?" And you know, they're giving us our time to help us sharpen our tools for the battles ahead. And I'm just super excited to go and watch them fight tomorrow. Before I head to Grand Rapids, like, these are my guys, and I get to actually watch them go out there and kill people. They lead by example, and it takes pressure off me a little bit. Like, I get to watch them fight it out, and then I go and fight this weekend. So it's just like I get into that zen mode and watch my coaches go out and scrap. So it's kind of just like, oh, okay, everybody else just fought. Now I get to go fight. It's my turn, you know, and I put on for my team that taught me everything. So it boosts my energy level, and at the same time, it kind of calms my nerves, and it allows me to just sit back and soak it all up in and embrace the whole fight week.
Mr. Thunder, you got any questions for our guest?
Yeah, man. Who would win a battle rap between Harriet Tubman and Mischa Tate?
I'd have to go with Harriet.
Harriet. Good answer. Why Harriet?
I could only remember his name after you pronounced those two, so I just went with the first one that came up.
Plus,
I don't know either of them.
Harriet Tubman got
Oh, yeah, that's what you get for apparently, we shouldn't have brought up the history lesson.
Harriet Tubman got bars, man.
Hey, I'm with it, bro.
Man, but my question is, with six of you guys getting ready to fight all in the same week, man, how intense are those training sessions right now? Or maybe not this week, but you know, leading up to the, how intense is it? And is it like tension everywhere? Everybody just ready to murder, death, kill?
I mean, you would think so, but more it's like a science. You know, we break it down to 5 weeks out, you can go as hard as you want. 4 weeks out, keep going hard as shit. Like you'll go with I'll end up training with a whole bunch of people. Like we have Bobby in there. I'll go with Darren, Bobby, and Jason. Mix it up with Cesar. Like as the weeks get closer day by day, we kind of, you know, tone it back a little bit. We're starting to really just move around, so to speak, you know, get a sweat going. And you got to be careful. We're always wearing headgear, but you know, it's, you got a fight coming up, so this shit's real. So you're going to battle, and if you're being a pussy in the gym, you're gonna get the same results when you step in that cage. So it's, in my head, like when I go with Darren, I'm always trying to learn. I'm always trying to not just get that explosive shot off, as he's teaching me to engage and to how to enter that fight distance, that jab, you know, instead of just, you know, doing a Superman from 10 feet away. There's different kind of styles. Like you take Jason down and now it's like, okay, it's time to focus on that jiu-jitsu. You go with Darius, okay, watch out for this shit. It's, attacks are coming from every different angle. And you guys, you don't want to hurt each other, but you want to make sure that you're getting better, and you're, at the end of the day, you're tired. You want to, nothing left in the gas tank. You want to go rounds and rounds and rounds. Be smart. Make them better. Make yourself better.
So I'm going to go completely off the just the regular fighting and training stuff. Tell me a little bit about some of the stuff I've seen from you as far as promotional. Obviously, we're seeing you right now. You got the blonde hair going. You got your thing going. Like, how much of your game goes into trying to either throw off your opponent or, you know, whatever the case might be, whether it's talking shit or just dressing a certain way or doing whatever you got to do? Because I saw a lot of the stuff leading up to your last fight. You know, tell me how much of that goes into your game plan.
When it comes to be trash talking, it's like a few of my opponents that I've had, we don't like each other, whether we don't know each other or what people have said about both of us. It's just we're two alpha males going in, and we both think that we can beat one another, and we're confident in ourselves. So it's like I don't even do what I do for the media and for the people's eyes. I kind of just like to do what I'm doing, like dyeing my hair. I got bored of having dark hair. Dyeing one eyebrow, I was like, fuck it, I'm bored still.
Well, okay. I just noticed
literally,
that.
Literally, I just had my hair.
I have a question. I have a question.
Oh, Randy's got a question.
Uh-oh.
Does the carpeting match the drapes?
Oh, shit!
That's funny you say that, because Darren's always saying that same shit, and he actually, like, your boy's clean shaved everywhere but his face. So I'm like, I have no drapes. But he's like, bro, you should just grow out like a thin line on the top, and then you can just pull your pants down and be like, the carpet does match. That's funny you bring that up.
Wait. Is this drunk Randy right now, or is this sober Randy? Oh,
no, it's totally sober Randy. You can look at him and see it.
Man, but yeah, I just noticed the eyebrow just now as you said
some
it.
Some people thought I shaved it off. Like, I'm like, no. They're like, are you going to just leave one, or are you going to do – you got to do both. I'm like, I'm just going to leave one. And then it's like they're saying I should have done like this side of the mustache so I could like even out.
It's like a two-faced thing going.
Yeah, and it was kind of just too late. So I just like kept growing it down, you know, whatever. Everybody rocks the handlebars over at MTT, but no one's really grown out a full beard and rocked like a blonde handlebar mustache. So
I dig it, dude.
Same, but different.
Would you say it's sort of like an artistic thing, or it's just like, fuck it, why not?
Yeah, it just started with my hair, and I just got bored, and like dye was so cool, or bleaching was so cool. I'm like, shit, let's just keep going with it. And, you know, it's just hair. I'll cut it off, grow it back, shave the beard, grow it back. But it's just something that I like to do. When I was wrestling, you know, everybody at State would dye their hair bleach blonde, and I was always just like, I'm not going to follow that trend, because I didn't catch on, you know, until I was like a sophomore finally going to State, And I'm like, well, I don't want to cop because I was someone that never really wanted to copy other good wrestlers. I wanted to go out there and beat them and then have them copy me the following year. So going into, you know, I never did that. And now going into MMA, this is going on like my fourth year. And I'm like, you know, I kind of forgot about other people doing their thing. No one really dyed their hair. It's like the dude that dyed his hair red in the UFC that I don't really even care for. I forget his name, but he's an old timer.
About Leben?
Chris Leben, yes sir. I mean, he's cool, whatever, but he would dye his hair red and I was like, okay, that was pretty gay. I didn't even really like that. But now as I'm getting older and mature, it's like kind of like appreciating just different things. And now that I'm doing it, it's like, all right, bro, I understand where you're coming from.
So you mentioned
quick,
Chris.
Quick shout out to Chase Brett Wilbur Martin and Brett Chat Martin.
Hey, let's go, big dog.
Good luck to him coming out with his fight this weekend too, man. He's fighting on Lights Out too.
That's what's up, man. You got to make it out there one of
them. We do, man. It sucks that I always have to work on Saturdays. Hence why a lot of times I get to BCWA right there or late.
Hey, Mr. Thunder, you got a question, man? Got more more rap battle question?
Well, no, I got a different question.
Okay.
Who's the greatest rapper of all time, and why is it Vanilla Ice?
Who?
Vanilla Ice.
you just answer your own question?
Why is it Vanilla Ice is the question.
I don't think he is. I just I like his one hit that everybody knows, Ice Ice Baby. I do appreciate
the Ninja Rap.
Oh man, I forgot about the Ninja Rap for Teenage Ninja Turtles, man. Go Ninja, go Ninja, go.
Oh yeah, but no, seriously, man. In pro wrestling, you know, we do things that's called a rivalry. Well, you can see it. You can say there's rivalry in all sports. You know, where each team kind of battles with each other to try to reign supremacy. Sure. Would you say that you've had any rivalries in your career, or like any thoughts on like your couple of battles you've had with Kenny Branch?
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's sweet that you even knew that I fought, because that was pretty cool. You know, we went to a really close split decision. I won the amateur belt, and then I moved to Tennessee, and I actually started doing a little bit of, like, strength and conditioning, because back then I was, like, smoking cigarettes and not doing shit but playing basketball and having a girlfriend. So I moved to Tennessee, started actually getting in shape, and I came back and I destroyed him in the second round. And I don't like rematches. That shit's scary, you know, especially when it was such a close, tiring fight. Like, I would puke after those fights. And the last thing I wanted to do was push myself again that hard. I'm like, the easiest way out, let's take that way. So rematches were always back then. Like, I was like, eh, I don't really care for that. But rivalry, I would go with, so far it would be me and Rice Brink. You know, that was one of the most promoted fights.
I heard a lot about
of shit talking.
Fight. As soon as it started.
He did his own on holding up his end of that, you know, promoting. And then I went out there and destroyed him when we had thousands of fans out in the crowd. Like, everything went
crazy.
There
was a lot of hype to that fight.
Now,
I mean, you seen that as soon as that fight got announced. It was
insane. It was insane. Like, I got police escorted back to my dressing room. And I'm like, look at me. Wow. I'm like Denzel Washington, baby. we made it. Like, well, now he just beat a guy that beat me. He just beat Zach Shaw.
Yep.
So that gives me more initiative to go back and fight him again. So, I mean, terms of rivalry, he still thinks from that day, he kind of just puts it up to luck that I won, which is just something that I can't let, you know.
You can't let it slide, huh?
No, it's like I destroyed you fair and square and I'll do it again. He beat a guy that you want to go into like, oh, I should have won this, should have won that. I should have won all my fights. But man, Zach Shaw caught me when I didn't know anything about jiu-jitsu. I don't even know he knew jiu-jitsu. Yeah. So I lost that fight and then he went out there and beat that guy. And I'm just like, damn. Well, let's run it back.
So tell me a little bit, we were talking about when we were trying to help you get to the studio when we got here.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about
I can't believe I didn't get pulled over. Oh, my God. U-turn after U-turn.
I know, right? It's Royal Oak, though. We're all right.
Oh, my gosh.
So tell me a little bit. You know, you told us where you're coming from. You said you're coming from Hastings, right?
Well, I live in Chesterfield.
Okay.
I'm from Hastings, though. So it's like all these crazy one-ways and stops. And
okay.
Cops everywhere. I'm like, I'm getting pulled over for sure.
You mentioned a little bit about Michigan Top Team and like the room it is for you guys training. Like, tell me a little bit about your early training and like what made you want to make the switch over to Michigan Top Team, and what are some of the biggest differences you've seen since you made the switch?
My early training would start with no training. You know, I was 8-0 as an amateur, and I just kind of like ran sprints and I played basketball. I would shoot the ball at the rim and then miss and then chase it down. And that led to going to Tennessee, and I started training at like KMAA, where Ovince St. Preux trains, but that was a hike for me, so I only trained like one or two times a week there, and then I would just run in the Tennessee heat. Ended up getting a trainer, Scooter Houston's a stud, so I did some strength and conditioning. Moved back to Grand Rapids a year later, was living with my pops, working some construction, and then I found Triumph MMA. And I trained at Triumph MMA maybe twice a week as well. That was a hike for me too, because actually I was living with my grandma a part of that too, and that was an hour drive. So I would go in there, and you know, it's just not the high intensity level training. And maybe it's because I didn't seek it out as much. You know, I'm a shy guy. When I first get into a gym, I kind of have to like plant my feet for a little bit so I get to know everybody, and then I'll start asking for more. But I was hitting mitts and pads with people that, you know, was their first day in the gym. So I'm in there training, you know, mediocre training is what I was putting out. The effort that I was giving was not pro level. And I was still coming away with, I won twice there and then I lost twice there. And as soon as I lost to Mo, that was, I lost to Zach Shaw and then I lost to Mo. And I'm like, damn, I'm not doing something. And there was an opportunity for me to come out and live with my buddy who just graduated college and was working for UPS. Shout out to Johnny French. You know, I'm living with him and started working at UPS, and I could go to Michigan Top Team. And I walked into Michigan Top Team. I'm like, I just lost to one of your guys. Hi, my name is Kenny. And so I just started kicking it off with them. And immediately I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, these guys are dogs, you know. And it's just grinding and grinding, and it's just like one of the top gyms. It's definitely the best gym I've ever been at, and it's got to be one of the best gyms around. Everybody just wants to be so damn good there. Everybody's, you know, so competitive, and it's not like a family. It is a family-oriented gym, don't get me wrong, but when we're in there, we're not there to talk. We're not there to say hi and high-five people. Right. We're going to get our work in, and then we'll talk after. So that's kind of just the transition. And the biggest difference, changes I've seen is just the mental toughness for me, the will and the want to be there every single day, the energy that I get and that I put out kind of just magnets me to them. It kind of sucks us all in together, and we work hard. And I just, my striking, jiu-jitsu, like I'm going to jits class. My boss and my coach, Hav, sponsored me a gi. You know, I'm about to get a
hopefully. What up, Javier? I've known Javier for years too.
Yeah, he's a baddie. But yeah, it's just like, you know, we're creating hybrids over here. We're training in every different aspect. It's just a whole bunch of top-notch coaches teaching a bunch of top-notch athletes, and it's just it's a good working system.
So you mentioned a little bit about the risk going into this fight with, you know, your opponent, you know, not having maybe the best record on paper and things like that. You know, what are the biggest things for you? Are you trying to, you know, are you going to try to, is this a fight where you're trying to get more work in? Is this a fight where you want to try to end it quickly so that you make a statement? You know, like what exactly is your thought on the fight, being that you're the one coming in that's supposed to win the fight? Because that's a totally different mindset than a guy who, like your opponent, if he comes in and beats you, that's a big win for him.
Yeah,
if you win. If you don't do it convincingly, you get the, oh, well, you won, but you were supposed to win. So,
yeah.
I mean, what for you as you're training for this fight, you know, what are your coaches telling you without there being, you know, revealing anything? But, you know, what are your coaches telling you, and what are you thinking yourself like about the fight?
Well, first off, it's a fight. So I have to win. If I win, I'm happy. You know, I want to go out there and execute. I want to destroy. I want to show people that I'm ready for the next level. I want to continue to just to knock people out. I've never knocked anybody out. You know, I've stunned a couple people in the gym, but no one sees that shit, and I don't, you know, you don't brag about that.
It's always the hard work that they don't see.
Yeah. Well, I'm a strong, fast dude, so I just need to put it to work. I've been working on my boxing. I want to go out there and KO these guys. It's
And let me guess, having trained with Kara, she's probably telling you, relax, take your time, the knockout will come in.
Oh, 100%. Oh. Yeah, I've heard that.
I might have heard that once.
Yeah,
or twice.
Yeah, I heard that.
Kyle's been there.
I want to go in there.
I did.
He already did.
I want to take my time in this fight. I want to be able to breathe. I want my eyes to open up. I want to see everything. I want to be calm and collected, you know, in the chaos. But at the same time, like, I'm not just going to hold back and feel each other out. I never do that. I don't care about that. I've barely even watched film on this guy. I just know that I'm a lot faster. I'm a lot stronger. My wrestling is far superior to his. I could wrestle hump him all day long if I wanted to.
I told you that was a term, Devin, just for the, just for the record.
I could, but I don't want to do that. I want to, you know, I want to kick people in the head. I want to see some mouthpieces go flying.
Man, I love the term wrestle fuck, man. I don't know why.
I kind of PG a little bit.
Yeah, fuck it, man. Kyle threw that out the window a long time ago.
When he says it, it's fuck it. Let's go.
Watch him out.
He threw that out the window a long time ago, man. But well, you were talking about your time in Tennessee, and but here we go. I ring the bell. So when I went down to the Atlanta fight, Ovin St. Preux was on that card. And I actually end up meeting one of his trainers. I can't remember what his name is right now. But what was it like working in that gym where Ovin St. Preux was? Did you get, you know, have a relationship with him? Like, what was it like being at that gym?
For the time that I was there, I actually developed a decent relationship with him. When I first walked into this gym, I saw a big sign of Ryan Bader and Ovince. And I'm like, who's that black dude? I'm like, damn, Ryan Bader trains here? But yeah, so it's like that was the first time I experienced a UFC caliber guy being in a gym. And it was just, you just get a little starstruck. It's like, damn, it's hard to even put into words. But there wasn't a whole bunch of wrestlers in that gym. So I got to wrestle with him quite a bit when I was there. He's a big ass dude. And I was only, you know, I used to fight at 140. As I trained, I started growing. Right. But I was pretty small. And it was just sweet. You shoot in, single leg, dump him. And then he just throws you across the mat, whatever. But that was really cool. And a really cool experience for me is we were at Hooters watching the fight. And he just got done fighting John Jones. And I'm like, damn, Ovince is fighting John Jones. That's crazy, right? So I'm sitting in Hooters and I'm eating. And I'm eating with a couple of my boys that I met down there in Knoxville. And I'm like, hey, guys. Ovince walked into the door and he sits at the bar. And he's like ordering wings out. And I tapped him and I'm like, yo, Ovince is here. They're like, where's he at? I'm like, I didn't even look at him. I was just trying to be cool. I just like pointed. I'm like, he's right there. And they immediately get up and run over and shake his hand. They're like, oh my God, I love you. And I didn't even walk over there to him. I just kept eating my food and just chilled. Well, 10 seconds later, dude, the whole restaurant is like over there just bobbing on him. I'm just like, God, I shouldn't even have said anything because he probably gets that all the time.
Right.
But then I finally, like, after like it all, the dust settled, I looked back at it and I was like, I shot him a little high five, and he raised his hand, and he's like, he gave me a little wink or some shit, and then he got his food and got out of there. And I'm like, I did it well. I did good, you know, just like keeping my distance.
Right, right.
So you mentioned Ovince. You know, who are some of the guys, you know, whether it be in the game now or maybe some of the guys that you were watching that got you into MMA in the first place, or who are some of the guys you watch now that you look up to?
Easy, you know, GSP and Anderson Silva were the biggest ones that I ever looked up to growing up.
Definitely.
The talking shit kind of was Michael Bisping and Chael Sonnen. That was pretty sweet. And nowadays, it's like Robert Whittaker is my favorite fighter. Watching him fight the way, you know, he fought Romero, whatever his name
Romero,
is.
Romero, yep.
Yoel Romero. And that dude is just so damn scary that anybody that will fight him is like, I already give you credit. But to beat him, and he like cranked his knee in the first one real quick, and then to beat him again is insane.
Right.
That dude's a savage. I love Conor McGregor, but he's been out of the game. You know, right. I love watching southpaws because I'm a southpaw, so it kind of like I just study everything they do, and then the next day I go and I try it. And so I love my southpaw guys, but if I could put out one guy, is Robert Whittaker is one of my favorite fighters to watch, just the way he mixes everything up.
He's so smooth, though, too.
So sexy.
Like, there's no, like, stop in between anything. Yeah, like a lot of flows. Guys, when you'll see him switch from southpaw to orthodox or maybe a more Thai stance from a traditional boxing stance, you can always kind of – with some guys, you can see like that pause.
He like hangs his hands low.
Yeah, like he'll hang them low like and then make you miss while he's doing it. Like,
and he can take shots as well and come back from adversity and battle back.
So I'm assuming you're looking forward to Israel versus Robert.
That's going to be crazy. That's crazy. You know, I love Kevin Gastelum as well. But he's just the way that he was taking it to Israel in the beginning. I was like, damn. You know, I was hoping he was going to win, but Israel is just, as new as he is to the UFC, he's a seasoned fighter as well. He's been in Glory and all that or whatever, like just kickboxing his whole life. So I gave it to Israel, but I didn't count Kevin out for a second. And then it was just like Israel could take those shots better than Kevin could. Kevin was getting blasted at the end and just, I don't know, either got tired or just couldn't take it anymore. But yeah, watching Israel versus my boy Robert is going to be crazy. I'm going to go with Robert for sure.
On that same card, with you being fighting it, you're fighting 55 this fight,
60.
Right? 60, okay.
Yeah, 60.9, baby.
Uh-oh, 60.9. We're just under that extra pound. But tell me, since you're right there, tell me about your thoughts of the Poirier-Holloway fight. I mean, that was a hell of a fight.
Yeah, it was a crazy fight. I'll tell you that Max just isn't strong enough. His hits weren't doing damage. He was laying it on him volume after volume. But he was hitting Dustin Poirier, and Dustin was just eating it. And when you don't hit that hard, that lets the other guy free because he knows if he gets in danger, he can sit there and, okay, tag, but I'm coming with that hard hook or whatever. And it was a really good fight. I'd just pick out that Max should just stay at 45. It was sweet. You know, I would do the same thing, go up a weight and try to be double champ. Hell, you got to risk it.
I mean, if anything, it just shows how much of a dog, you know, Max Holloway is to even do that. But you could see, like, a marked difference. Did you get to go to the fight that he had here in Michigan?
No, I didn't.
See, like, if you watch the fight with Aldo, I mean, every punch he's hitting Aldo with is just smacking him.
Yeah.
You know, to where when you watch against Poirier, they just don't have that same snap on him.
No,
so,
yeah.
You know, I think
I did not expect that because everyone says he's a really big guy. When they see Holloway, he's like 6 foot.
He's a nice
size. When we met him, he's tall, man. Like, we met him here in Detroit, and he is. You met him, too, so that's for you, too, fool. But, yeah, I mean, he's definitely tall, so you would expect him to have more pop. But
if you look at their shoulders, Dustin Poirier is just a wider, thicker dude.
He's naturally bigger, man.
What's-his-face was saying that Dustin has one of the highest body counts at American Top Team, that he just knocks people out in the gym. Like, he's got the most bodies.
Wow.
We got Jorge Masvidal is saying that.
Wait, quick question for you, ask that. So, those two fights from Atlanta, the Israel-Gastelum fight, Poirier versus Holloway, which fight did you enjoy more?
The Israel fight, I would say I enjoyed more. I paid more attention to that fight just because, like, I watched The Ultimate Fighter when Kevin, you know, was coaching it and all that. It's like, Kevin was my dude. Like, I like Max. And I like his "it is what it is" mentality,
right?
But I just never really cared for Dustin "P-Head" Poirier. You know, I didn't think he was going to be that damn good. He has gotten better. He always gets better.
I think
American
Top Team was a good move for him.
Yeah, it had to have been because I thought Max was going to come back. You know, they fought when he was 19 years old or whatever. I thought Max was going to be able to smash him now because if that was me, I would be a lot better than I was back when he beat me the first time.
I think the size overdid him.
It had to be
like
something.
It wasn't because Holloway was getting outclassed because he was smacking the shit out of Poirier, too.
That knee or whatever that split his forehead.
Yeah.
We've got a fan question for you, but Jen Dib asks, is there anyone up and coming that you look forward to fight in the future?
Shout out to Jen.
Well, I don't know because everybody that's up and coming that I know is from Michigan.
For sure.
And I want to see us all eat. I want to see everybody in Michigan do well. And then we'll see where the cards, you know, unfold then. But up and coming, not really. I don't know. I just want to fight people that I don't know. Like, because we're all in Michigan fighting it out. I have 3 losses already. And I'm going to be the best fighter in the world.
Right.
Like, us people in Michigan are fucking crazy. Like, we're tough.
I mean, Michigan's getting to the point now between WXC, you know, getting the UFC Fight Pass thing. Lights Out's going to be on UFC Fight Pass as well, isn't it?
I don't know.
I want to say they are, but I'm not sure.
But it's just like we have a big
ass
arena.
But they're finally starting to get, like, the light on them. Between WXC signing the deal where they're doing however many episodes of that they've got. Look at who they've already put on there. Just on this one alone, you've got Darren, who's fought in the UFC. Fisher, it's been Bellator multiple times. And then in the next one, you've got a former teammate of mine, Bobby Nash, that's going to be on there. He's fought in the UFC 3 times. So, I mean, you've got, like, high-caliber dudes on, quote-unquote, regional shows. I mean, Joe Riggs has fought for them. I mean, Michigan itself.
Monkey God.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
My bad. I can't believe I went over that.
I was like, I know there's someone else.
Yeah, I was trying I was trying to go right off
it's
the
crazy,
top.
Man.
So give me your thoughts on him, though, man. Like, you know, they dissolved the 125 division, and where do you see him landing next? Do you think he's going to go mess with 1FC or what?
Brooks is a savage.
He is, though.
1FC would be great for him because they really appreciate their little guys over there. You know, that's their medium size. That's their... Yeah. You know, average size over there. It's like we want all these heavyweights. American want big. But these guys are all used to people that size. They're ninjas. They're fucking crazy. And Brooks, man, like, I'll spar with Brooks, and he'll beat the shit out of me sometimes. Like, he's so fast, and his back is huge. Like, he fights big for a little guy.
Yeah, for a small guy, dude, he's got size on him, especially at 125.
He's going to do well wherever he goes. You know, he talks well, he looks good, and he trains hard. So I don't have any doubt that Brooks is going to make it. Even the guy, like, when Brooks picked that dude up and knocked himself out, man, he just gets – when he lost that fight in Brazil that I swear he won, the Brazil dudes, those judges are just shady. I watched that fight, and I gave it to him, and I barely even knew Brooks then. And I was like, oh, Brooks
dude,
won that shit.
MMA as a whole, like, we've talked about this on the show multiple times, like – first of all, I've never judged a fight, so I can't say anything. But, I mean, just knowing what I know, watching as many fights as I have, dude, like, in my opinion, there needs to be a change to, like, MMA rules as a whole, or at least how it's judged.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you'll have fights where, you know, it
you'll
should
have that
be
30, 27, and then you'll have 29, 28, 29, 28.
Yeah, and it's and then it just – it looks like it's something that should be so easy to be
there
picked.
Definitely needs to be changes to MMA. You
I think
know,
there
it's still
needs
growing
to be changes to the rules, and I think there needs to be –
a lot of weight
be,
classes need to be added.
That too.
Because this shit sucks.
But I think it also comes down to who they're letting judge fights, right? Because, like, you've seen it on the regional scene. Like, how often do you see people, like, it's just some random –
judges that have ever fought.
Like, random guy that – you know, happens to be friends with the promoter or something, he'll be a judge.
Yeah.
Like, it needs to be people who have either trained, fought, or been a judge for a long time or whatever.
Retired fighters.
Yeah, so that they've got an actual knowledge of the game, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think that would change a lot of how you see these fights going.
Yeah, that's why we just don't leave it up to the judges.
That too?
Yeah.
Hey, Tony, you got a question, man?
I'm sorry, everybody. Actually, I've just been... I do want to apologize to all the viewers, the guests, and you guys as well.
Uh-oh. Wait, what are you apologizing for?
We cannot get a...
Oh.
Oh,
he's...
Wait, but... So it's just not working out, but I...
Damn.
Yeah. I already know where this is going. You'll see in a second. Anyway,
I think it already happened.
Yeah, I think it already happened. Yeah. But let's totally jump off of script. We've talked MMA. We've talked about your career with that. As you know, we're a wrestling podcast, too. Did you ever watch that at all growing up? And was there anybody you ever checked out as a kid?
Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. Let's get it, brother.
Devin's girl.
My grandpa watched it. My grandpa Don was watching it back when I was growing up. And being over at my grandma's house was always something really fun for me. Like, she always just made the best dinners, and we'd have like the little dinner tray sitting out, and it would be on the TV, but I was always like ADHD rolling around, like just doing crazy shit,
right?
So I would catch glimpses of it, and then my dad broke it to me really early that it wasn't real. And as soon as he said it wasn't real, I was like, what the hell does this even mean? Like, he just changed my world. Like, shit can be on TV and not be real. Like, I don't know what's going on. But when he said that, see, now I know that this shit is real, and it hurts you. Like, it breaks your body up. It's just scripted or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Right.
But still, like, The Rock, the Triple H, or the Triple X, like, there was who's the dude with the mask? The flippy dude.
He's always Rey Mysterio.
Rey Mysterio was the man.
He's still
bro.
Going now, man.
And I would play these games. I would play it with my brother, and I'd be picking up chairs and shit. Like, it was fun playing it on the PS2 and all that. But I just never got real into it to where I could remember all the names.
Well, what do you think about all the MMA guys that have made their foray into wrestling? You've obviously got the obvious. You've got Ronda Rousey, who's made a killing, but you've also got, you know, Josh Barnett just had his own show WrestleMania weekend. Frank Mir just made his debut in wrestling.
Matt Riddle, Shayna Baszler.
Tom Lawler, you know, yeah. Shayna Baszler's the champ in WWE right now. I mean, there's literally a whole list of people. And like he said, Matt Riddle, who you know, a bigger name over there. And he's already gotten a title shot within, what, his first 2-3 months of being over there? Like, I mean, like that, what do you think about all these guys
making? That girl with the red hair in the UFC, her last name starts with a G. She's dating Tim Elliott. She's been fighting over – she's been, like, wrestling and shit, too.
Redhead.
She just lost, like, 2-3 weeks ago or some shit. She's actually a babe. She got big tattoo on her leg. Her arm's all tatted.
Dude, I got to see who you're talking about, and I'll know exactly who he's talking about.
I'll show your handle on IG later.
Yeah, hell yeah. But, like, what do you think about everybody making their foray in there? Like, you know, what do
There's
you think?
There's a lot of money. Was? There's a lot of money in wrestling, right?
Yeah.
You're good.
Definitely. I mean, look at the hype.
No, there's not.
I mean, if you have a name and you can draw,
it's like people say there's not money in MMA until you're in the UFC, and you know what I'm saying, like, sure. But if you can act a little bit, you know, if you can be a little friendly to the camera and then go out there and do your business, now you're not really getting punched. You get to talk to your opponent, be like, all right, bro, you're going to throw that left hook, and I'm going to duck and pick your ass up and fucking toss you. And you get to jump off ropes and wear fucking tight little shit and have blonde hair and not have to braid it back. Dude, I would do it after my fight career. Like, I would go over there 100%. I'd be dropping bows. I'd be doing backflips and shit. Like, I'd get crazy costumes on and make hella money.
Man, so Vince, Triple H, man, I think we got our next guy right here, man.
Yeah.
Have you tag out with Matt Riddle. So, so quick shout out to Matt Friendo, man, good friend of the show, man. Talk to me about Lights Out, man. How many times have you fought with them, and this is your first time?
This is going to be my third time.
Third time,
Lights Out, but every fight besides, like, two, like, my second amateur fight, I started fighting for Matt.
Okay.
And then I had one fight for Petey, and that's about it. I had 8 fights, and now I'm 6-3, so I've had 9 fights going on 10. So, I mean, I've had, like, 16 for Matt.
Okay, well, talk to me about fighting over in Grand Rapids and working with Matt as far as fighting.
It's all good. It's all good energy. You know, we make money. There's a lot of people in the stands. Matt's a cute, friendly, you know, little fuzzy daddy bear to me. And he's always been good to me. I've always been good to him. So, you know, we just keep this relationship going, and then, you know, project each other into the higher uppers in the future. And so it's, I mean, I love fighting in Grand Rapids. I love going out afterwards, you know, unless you lose. Then you go back to the hotel, and then you end up throwing a hotel party. You know, sorry about that, Timmy. But but I love it. It's just because I grew up around the area, but I'm not from the area. So, like, I haven't even been out to the bars a whole lot. And it's a good bar town. It's a bar. There's more, you know, the place is always getting better. Everybody says it's like a little Detroit, but wow. Nice. So you guys ever go to Grand Rapids?
I've been down there a couple times,
but we've been supposed
to
get down there.
You can walk from bar
times.
To bar, and there's not like $20 parking for everywhere and shit like that. So
even better.
Yeah,
we've been telling Friendo for a while, especially when we talked to him the last time we were at WXC, that we need to make it out there. So
you
guys
will have fun.
I feel like since Muneeb's fighting in the one in June, maybe we need to make that happen.
What's that date? You know?
June 29th, I think.
Something
like that. I just know Muneeb just hit me up the other day. Shout out to Muneeb saying that he's getting ready to fight for Lights Out. He's coming off another nasty ass flying knee knockout.
Wow, that one was for the boys.
Dude, that one was nasty too. Like, my man's toes were curled up. And
then he dropped down some hammers on top of it.
He did, though, man. Like, and the knee come out of nowhere.
He's like,
so
I won. Oh, let me hit you a couple more times.
Yeah, just another reason you need to be checking out Lights Out, but I think maybe that's the one we need to be hitting. Plus, you know, our homie Bobby always be out there doing the commentary and shit.
Definitely.
He's good at that.
Man, so I'm...
Uh-oh, Tim says, what?
Well, if you don't know, then we're all good.
Oh, yeah, and Joel Cross, I'm assuming you're related to this guy?
That's my dad. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No one ever wants to fight Boss again. They got lucky.
They got lucky. I think that was a question from earlier when they said.
Yeah, he's talking about Brink or something.
Yeah. Man, but you kind of know that guy a little bit, maybe. Just a little.
Yeah.
Just a tad.
Seen him a few times.
Yeah.
So as we start to wind down, man, anything that you need to say to your opponent?
Or the fans coming to the fight.
You know, be ready for a hell of a fight. I expect Eric to be training his ass off. He knows this isn't an easy fight up ahead, but I just don't see him being better at any aspect of the fight game. I don't see his hand getting raised at the end of the night. I hope he does his damnedest to bring the best Eric to this fight, but it's going to be a long night for him. I'm going to be the godfather of punishment. Let's go.
In other words, you need to be there to see this dude put a hurting on somebody real quick.
Definitely. So, any last words?
No, I mean, thank you guys for having me on here. I'm just excited to get the rest of this weight off, get to Grand Rapids, see my people, see my fans, see my family, and put on a hell of a performance. I'm ready to go. You know, I'm a lean machine, and this is what I was put on the earth to do. So you better bet your ass that I'm coming to take people's heads off.
All right. You got any social media that people can follow you? And
yeah, you guys can follow me on Instagram at CrossTheBossMMA.
Hell yeah.
All right. And where can people get tickets? Are you selling tickets?
Yeah, my grandma has tickets. If you guys are around Hastings, you guys can swing through and PM her on Facebook or get a hold of me. And I got tickets on us. We always got tickets for you guys.
Definitely.
Hell yeah. And Frendo, I know you were watching for a hot minute. Frendo can tell you where to get tickets.
There you go.
And Barb Richards.
That's grandma.
She said you need to be asking for sponsors, homie.
Yeah, you guys need to come sponsor me. Oh my god,
And if you need to, if you're in the mood to sponsor a podcast, you know.
Wait, do you have sponsors?
God, I was hoping you guys didn't ask me that shit.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, hold on. I need to look that shit up.
All right, well,
grandma, you're supposed to text me these. What are you doing? You know I'm on live radio right now. I can't believe I don't have a text message from you. You want to bring it up. You should have known I'm cutting weight and I ain't ready for this shit.
Wait, we got one last question from Miss Jen Debs.
Don't swear at your grandma.
Oh, my God. You should have seen me last time I was cutting weight. My grandma was my weight-cutting wingman. And oh my God.
Oh, boy.
The last day, man, when I cut to 55, it's just ruthless. And she's hard at hearing.
How the hell does that work? Because my grandma, I know if I was cutting weight, she'd be like, it's all right. Just sit down for a minute. Like,
have a banana.
I can't do that right now.
Wait, she said she gave you a list. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But real quick, Jen Debs wants to know, any advice for young guys coming up behind you?
Yeah, if you're going to fight, you got to be all in. You got to want it, man. This is a brutal sport. It's cutthroat. And if you're going to be half in, half out, you're going to stay an amateur. So just be ready to work hard. Like, I'm still growing. I'm still working my ass off. And I know that I have a high ceiling and I can make it higher with hard work. So you just got to keep pushing. There's going to be ups and downs, but hard work, surround yourself with good people, and just stay dedicated, stay on the right path.
All righty. Well, while you're still looking up that list, man, we'll go ahead and go through our spiel real quick. Mr. Thunder, man, why don't you go ahead and tell the
That's
folks where they, can, where they can find you this weekend and all that good stuff.
I'm going to get the information before the show's over. But
The show is over, man.
Okay, fine. This Saturday, Niles, Michigan. See, the show's not even over and I found it. Niles, Michigan. Tony Thunder will be at Honor Pro Wrestling. I'm beating the shit out of a kid named Daniel Starr. I don't know what him and his Santa Claus-looking manager got planned or in store or whatever the hell he's talking about. All I know is I'm going to beat his ass. I'm Tony Thunder at Tony Thunder, Tony Thunder _ Thunder at all the social media shit.
That sums it up. Right. And you can find it at KO3CPod.com.
And fuck your couch.
Why you keep stealing my shit every week, you motherfucker?
Mr. Collins, any last words?
Even though I stole it from somebody else. But no, if you guys are in the area, make sure you check out WXC this week. You've got, we've got, what are we doing Saturday? Clash. Saturday. And then we've got
seeing Avengers for the third time.
I got to see Avengers as well. We've got Evolve coming. We've got Shine's going to be here.
Ooh la la Lucha.
Ooh la la Lucha. You've got Ultimo Dragon's going to be here. Our past guest of the show, Sam Adonis, is going to be hooking it up with Movado again. Burlesque dancers, mariachi band, St. Andrews Hall, Detroit, Cinco de Mayo. Yeah, a lot of shit going on. So anywhere you should be for wrestling in Michigan or MMA, you might find Knockouts and Three Counts. So be there.
Oh, and real soon we'll be dropping the episode that we recorded at BCWA this weekend. Movado talked a little bit about the show, so if you need some information, got some questions, we asked him, and you can find out about the VIP tickets and the ticket situation, where you can get tickets and all that.
That's a good interview with the Death Threat Army.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that one. That was a good interview. But that'll be coming out really, really soon. Mr. Cross?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All righty.
I got it. All right. I want to shout out to all my sponsors. Thank you guys so much for supporting me. I'm going to start off with Klusterman Sports Tab. I'm going to lead then with Brian Weimer at Airtight Installation. I got Adrian Bailey Sinkler of Allstate Insurance. Thank you so much. Oh, gosh. Hold on real quick. There we go. We got Tim Voss and his family, always. We got NCW Designs. We got Amy Eaton at Bell Bay Realty. Let's see. We got Top Gun Tree Care, my man. Let's go. Oh, my God. What's this chicken scratch, girl? Shit. We got Braised by Casey. We got Perfect Pets. We got Sinclair Photography. We got Cherish. What the fuck? Cherish Memories Childcare. God damn, where are these people coming from? Oh, I love you guys, though. Just know that. Just know
I
it.
Feel the love.
You guys are on my back. Yeah, I think that's about it.
I think I get grandma in studio.
she needs to be with me, honestly. I already lost my phone and my wallet like 3 times today.
Wait, here's the funny thing. She said, ha-ha, I told you to put it in your wallet so you would have lost your wallet.
Yeah, see? I just texted her. I was like, text me this damn list. If you got one, I want it.
Man. All right, well, that's another episode of Knockouts and Three Accounts.
Let's get it.
Mr. Cross, good luck this weekend, man. And
Shout out to Friendo and everybody else that was watching Chase Burnett. We see you guys.
And
fuck your couch.
Till next time.
This is Justin Timberlake's favorite pro wrestling MMA podcast.
Peace.
Pleasure, you guys. That was sweet.